Thanks for joining in today on WPR News. Larry Mueller here. We're going to turn our attention to cancer, facing a cancer diagnosis. It's certainly one of the most challenging experiences anyone can go through. And of course, there's the immediate medical concerns, but there's also many emotional and financial details that can become overwhelming. And today we're going to be talking about some of the financial support you can find after a cancer diagnosis with a couple of guests. One of them, Isaac Scher, with us today. He's a participant in the American Cancer Society's Road to Recovery program. Isaac's an author and writer. He's also a brain cancer survivor. Isaac, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on the show, Larry. It's an honor.
Well, it's great to have you with us. Amy Kralichek is with us as well. She's Associate Director of the Access to Care Solutions Delivery Program of the American Cancer Society. And Amy, thank you for joining us as well.
Oh, you are so very welcome. I'm so happy to be here.
As we talk with our guests, I hope you'll join in. Tell us about the support and resources maybe you found when you got a cancer diagnosis. Who was a big help to you? Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, or you could send an email to talk@WPR.org. Amy, let's say you've just received a cancer diagnosis. For so many, this is a very overwhelming time. What's your advice on what to do first?
The absolute first thing that I would say is to contact the American Cancer Society. We have so many programs and services, so much resources and references that are all free of charge, and we can help you even if it's just somebody you need somebody to listen to you. Contact the American Cancer Society. We're here to help, and we may be able to assist you in ways that you haven't even thought about yet.
Yeah.
So contact the American Cancer Society.
So what are the most common barriers people face when they seek treatment for cancer, Amy?
You know, it really depends upon each individual situation, of course, but one of the top barriers that we hear about is transportation. Every year, around 3.6 million Americans miss at least one medical appointment due to lack of transportation. Often right after a diagnosis, there may be lots of friends and family around that can help, but maybe your spouse has to go back to work because to keep insurance, or, you know, maybe your family lives out of town and you're alone, or you're not able to drive because of a medical condition. And so the American Cancer Society does have a program called Road to Recovery that offers free rides for cancer patients to cancer treatment-related appointments. So we have volunteer drivers all across the United States that are willing and able to pick up the patients and take them back and forth to their cancer treatments.
It's a great service, and we'll certainly be talking about more of the ways the American Cancer Society can help out if you receive that diagnosis. How's the American Cancer Society funded?
The American Cancer Society is a nonprofit organization, and so our funding really is through individuals, donors, businesses who support the work of the American Cancer Society, and we appreciate everybody's support in order for us to be able to provide free services like Bridge Recovery.
Yeah. Isaac, I want to give you a chance to get involved here. Tell us a little about your story. When were you first diagnosed with cancer?
Well, I was diagnosed in the fall of 2018. I had a seizure just almost literally out of nowhere, complete surprise, and I was rushed to the hospital, and the CAT scan revealed a brain tumor. And after it was removed, they did a biopsy, and, well, that's it was diagnosed as malignant, glioblastoma multiforme.
Boy. Now that, yeah. Your life must have been changed so much after
completely
that.
Completely flipped upside down, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, tell us more of the story. You were working at the time.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, what happened there is So for a while, the job that I had just started, they were willing to accommodate me and then, my needs for treatment for a while. But then last summer, unfortunately, they said they would no longer be able to accommodate my medical needs. So my employment there ended, and I'm now a full-time author. I have a science fiction fantasy romance novel out called A Cloak of Blades. And I have another contemporary romance novel coming out in May called Unconventional, about people meeting and falling in love at an anime convention. So trying to support myself through my writing, although I'm also, because of my cancer and some related factors because of that, I am no longer able to hold down a full-time normal job. So I am receiving Social Security disability. And also because it's no longer safe for me to drive because of various cancer-related problems, I am a recipient of the Road to Recovery program, and that's been a huge assistance for me financially because I don't always have friends and family available to drive me, and I can't drive myself anymore. Uber and Lyft rides, those add up very quickly. I can still use those if no volunteers are available on a given day, which does sometimes happen, but not having to rely on private services like that for, two or three times a week is a huge financial help. So this Road to Recovery program is a real lifesaver for me.
Yeah. How did you find the help or the resources to get through some of the issues? This is a very difficult thing.
Well, I was told about the Road to Recovery program by my oncologist once it was determined that, I really shouldn't be behind the wheel of a car anymore. He recommended I reach out to the ACS, and they were immediately on the ball. I was like, we can help with that. Here's how this works, and hooked me right up.
That's amazing. Well, Amy, let's talk a bit more about this Road to Recovery program. Who's qualified to take part in that Road to Recovery program?
Yeah, anyone who has been diagnosed with cancer, you do have to have a cancer diagnosis in order to be eligible for the Road to Recovery program. The patients do have to be ambulatory, meaning they need to be able to get to the vehicle and get in and out of the vehicle on their own. And the reason that stipulation is in place is because our drivers are volunteer drivers, and they provide curb-to-curb service, and they're not trained to lift patients in and out of vehicles. We definitely want to keep everyone as safe as possible. Now, the patients are able to bring a caregiver with them if needed, so if they do need a little bit of extra assistance that the caregiver can provide, then by all means. But if someone is determined that they're not eligible, the American Cancer Society also maintains a database of other programs that are available. So if someone perhaps is in a wheelchair in a hospital bed where they can't literally get in and out of a vehicle on their own, there are other services from other organizations that we can definitely help connect that patient to. But really, if someone is a cancer patient and they need assistance with transportation, I would encourage them to contact the American Cancer Society at cancer.org, or they can always call us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year at 1-800-227-2345. There is a stipulation also that they cannot be under anesthesia, just because, again, our drivers are not medical professionals, and they would need, if they're going to have surgery, they need to find a different way to get home.
Yeah, for sure. I'm thinking about the other side of this, and that would be the volunteer side, the driver side. What if you wanted to volunteer for the program? How do people do that, and what do they need to have as qualifications?
Again, they can go to cancer.org and check everything out, but they do need to be between the ages of 18 and 84. They do have to have a vehicle in good working condition or access to a vehicle in good working condition, adequate car insurance, and it really, all of the volunteers I work with, they are just absolutely some of the most amazing people on the planet, but they always say, I get so much more out of volunteering than what the patients do when they're literally driving someone to help save their life with cancer treatment, but there's so much that they get in return.
Yeah. Isaac, what's it?
Very kind and beautiful souls through this program. The volunteer drivers are extremely compassionate.
I was just going to ask you that. So it sounds like you've had very good experiences with that program.
Nothing but positive experiences.
Amy, another resource you offer is an app called ACS Cares. What kinds of information do people find on that app?
Yeah, as you mentioned earlier on, when you're diagnosed with cancer, it is so overwhelming. And many times what they tell you in the doctor's office is just it's too much. And so we have a new app called ACS Cares that can be downloaded for free. And it really goes through the patient navigation side of things, helping with the patient's needs and really digging down into what specific needs they have and what resources are available to them. It could be anything from, I need a hospital bed. Where do I find a hospital bed? Help with the transportation, like we talked about. Help with they're going through their cancer. They're having some side effects. Is this normal? It's just absolutely amazing help for anyone who's been diagnosed with cancer, or even a caregiver or a loved one can download the app too to help your cancer patient through their cancer journey.
Yeah. Amy Kralichek, Associate Director of the Access to Care Solutions Delivery Program of the American Cancer Society, and our other guest, Isaac Scher, is a participant in the American Cancer Society Road to Recovery Program. Great to have them with us. Questions, give a call. The number is 800-642-1234. Or you could email us, email address, talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Great to have you along today as we talk about cancer with a couple of guests, Isaac Scher, a participant in the American Cancer Society's Road to Recovery program. He's also an author and writer. And Amy Kralichek is the Associate Director of the Access to Care Solutions Delivery Program of the American Cancer Society. Questions, give a call. The number is 800-642-1234. Does the Road to Recovery Program have rural drivers?
We do in some areas. We are mostly in the larger metro areas, but we do have some Road to Recovery drivers in the rural areas that are willing to drive into the metro areas. It really just depends where you are. The American Cancer Society also has other transportation resources that are available, whether that's through some partner organizations that we have or through grants that the American Cancer Society gives out to assist those more rural patients getting to their cancer care in the larger metropolitan areas. Again, the best thing to do if you need transportation assistance is contact the American Cancer Society at cancer.org or call 1-800-227-2345.
Another email. How common is it to hear that cancer patients have lost their job? If you're diagnosed with cancer, how can you find or keep employment?
That's a great question. I don't know the exact answer to that. There's a lot of potential legalities around, you know, if someone was let go when they shouldn't have been let go with the human resource protections that we have in place for cancer patients. It's having cancer scary, and then you add everything else on top of it. It's a lot. And again, contact the American Cancer Society, even though we May not have that exact answer. We definitely have partners that work in the legal side of things that can assist.
Yeah. Isaac, turn to you again. But what are some of the best ways for you, for people to support people living with brain cancer?
Ooh, well, emotional support, I think, is probably the most important. And I know in my particular case, my family rallied around me and made me feel like I was not alone, and that was really critical. Let's see here. I'm just trying to think of maybe a better way to answer that, more concrete answer for you. I would say, like, for me personally, I asked my family not to second guess my choices with regards to how I was going to pursue treatment. Like, I had family members who wanted to offer all sorts of homeopathic remedies and other, you know, alternative medicines, which I found really unpleasant and intrusive. And I set down a boundary, like, look, this is my decision. This is my life. I'm consulting with my doctor. I'm going to go with what they suggest, and I don't want you to second-guess that. This is difficult for me enough without other people second-guessing me. And that was an important boundary for me to set.
Yeah, well, that makes good sense. What about, paying for medical bills? I know the American Cancer Society doesn't provide direct financial support.
No.
If someone needs help with that, where do they go?
Well, in my case, my family set up a GoFundMe where we're friends and family and even complete strangers were able to donate to a fund that my brother manages, where if I get a medical bill, I send that on to my brother and he's able to pay that bill on my behalf using the money that we've collected through this GoFundMe. There's only so much you can do with that. And sometimes these bills get pretty overwhelming. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Someone else here is wondering in an email, did you make use of, Isaac, any social support groups?
Not directly. I had the social support from friends and family in that regard, but I was actually specifically advised. I'm an unusual case in that normally GLIO, you have 6 months to a year at best. And I've survived 6 years with this, which is extremely unusual. I'm very fortunate in that regard. And my oncologist and I talked about this, would it be good for me to go to support programs to maybe offer my story in that regard? And I was advised, maybe not, because there might be some resentment from families and other glio patients who haven't been as lucky as I am, who don't survive more than 6 months to a year, and that my presence might be upsetting in that regard, which is unfortunate, but it is what it is.
Yeah. Let's talk about resources for lodging, Amy. How does the burden of traveling affect cancer patients? It sounds like it can be pretty severe.
Yeah, it definitely can. The American Cancer Society does have Hope Lodges. There's over 30 Hope Lodges located all across the United States. If a cancer patient needs to travel in to a larger metro area for their cancer treatment, we do have Hope Lodges available where the cancer patient and at least one caregiver can stay free of charge for as long as they need to for their cancer care. We also have other lodging partners and other lodging assistants available in areas where there isn't a Hope Lodge. And even if there is a Hope Lodge, like the Hope Lodge in Rochester, Minnesota, it stays really busy. And so we do have other lodging partners that are available. Again, contacting the American Cancer Society to see what's available in your area. I would always, always, always recommend that when somebody's diagnosed with cancer to also take advantage of the social workers and patient navigators at your cancer centers. They really have a great pulse on what's happening locally. And so they may know of resources even that the American Cancer Society doesn't know about. So always talk to those within your cancer centers about what is available also.
Makes a lot of sense. Isaac, just by the way, how far do you have to travel for your own treatments?
Well, from day to day, you know, not too far, thankfully. I live in central Illinois, and we've got a very good hospital in the immediate area. But I have had, there was at one point where I did need to travel to Chicago to meet with a world-recognized specialist with regards to my case. And I didn't know about the Hope Lodge program at the time. This was about a year or so ago. I hadn't been informed of that at that point. I wish I'd known then. But, yeah, I had to travel to and from Chicago for a treatment there. And thankfully, I don't need to do that going forward. I'm now able to get those particular treatments here in where I am now. But yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah. Jane in Manitowoc has something. Hi, Jane.
Hello, Larry. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a retired County Veteran Service Officer, so I want to shout out to all the veterans out there about VA healthcare, especially like the Vietnam guys. There's 38 cancers on their list. The PAC Act just put out a dozen cancers, including glioblastoma for the guys that were over in the Middle East. That means free healthcare, compensation every month of a couple thousand dollars while they're active cancer. And even if they're not active cancer, the most they're going to pay for medication is $11 a month, and things are $11 per medicine per month. So there's so much the VA does. And like my cancer guys here, when I was CVSO, they were treated up at Green Bay at St. Vincent or down in Milwaukee at Frederick. So it doesn't even mean being inside the VA healthcare.
Jane, thank you so much for calling. Comment, Amy?
Yeah, the VA is absolutely wonderful. The American Cancer Society also has a website specifically for veterans. It's cancer.org/veterans that includes some additional resources specific to veterans because, as she mentioned, there's some really specific things that happen in the veterans community. And so we're happy to support the veterans also in any way that we can.
Yeah, for sure. You have, I think you mentioned, may have mentioned it earlier, the American Cancer Society has a 24/7 helpline. When should people call that helpline, or under what circumstances?
They can call anytime that they want to, anytime that they need to. They can call as many times as they want to. Really, the National Cancer Information Center is one of my favorite programs that the American Cancer Society has. Whether it's just someone needs to talk, someone needs somebody to listen. There's information about chemotherapy, radiation, immunotherapy. There's just, cancer is so complex. It's not only the specific cancer type that you have that we have information on. There's also treatment options that you can talk to. We have oncology nurses on staff. So if you want to talk to someone as a medical professional, maybe someone outside of your doctor's office, you're always welcome to call. We have a health insurance team that can help with those that are uninsured or maybe underinsured. And we also have a connection with another organization that helps with insurance questions. Insurance is as confusing maybe as cancer is. So we have a lot of resources available. We do have Spanish-speaking specialists on staff, but we also work with a translation service. And so I think there's 265 different languages that we can help someone who calls in. So we're definitely here. And they, like I said before, there's a lot of resources that are available, and our cancer specialist at the Cancer Information Center can really dig into it. You had talked about the financial questions that people have. There are a lot of foundations and a lot of grants that are available, but some of them are really specific, whether it's specific to breast cancer or glioblastoma or children's cancer. And really the easiest way to get started on all of that is contacting the American Cancer Society. Let us help you. Yeah. That's what we're here for.
And one thing I'd like to add into that is one thing that these people are very good at is there's been times when I've called up the Cancer Society basically because I didn't know what questions to ask. I just didn't know what resources were potentially available. And I wasn't sure what kind of help I could ask more. And these people are willing and able and eager to answer those questions and to listen.
Yeah, and we're running out of time here, Isaac. What's the number, Amy? What's that hotline number again?
It is 1-800-227-2345.
227-2345. Amy,
yep.
Isaac, it's been a real pleasure. Thank you both so much for being with us today. Amy Karlicek is the Associate Director of the Access to Care Solutions Delivery Program of the American Cancer Society, and Isaac Scherer, participant in the program. And thank you very much for listening.